Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show. I think episode 513. I'm not sure. It is Black Friday. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd just like to announce people are idiots.
We will get into that. And Earl is missing in action. Jeff's butt still hurts. And so Walt is filling in again.
What's up, guys? Let's take a moment of silence for Jeff's broken pooper, please. Hey, yeah. Silence, please. This is serious. Broken poopers are very... Totally. Come on.
All right. I'll be quiet. Here we go. Sorry. I can't help myself.
He's getting much, much better from what I'm understanding.
Yeah.
He's following doctor's orders exactly, so he's been good. He's on the mend.
Yeah, he should be back next week.
He actually had me worried for a couple of days there, but he's good.
When somebody goes, "Hey, I've gone to the hospital."
Yeah.
And they are keeping me here, that's a little scary.
Yeah. And then the whole, like, I want to eat something, you know, that stuff. And like, me and Tony are like begging him, like, dude, please, you're getting an IV. You didn't eat food. That's all in your head. Just listen to the instructions, please.
It is. It is a mental thing, but there's also like, it doesn't give you that feeling of being full.
Yeah.
Your
stomach is literally empty. Like, yeah. It's not.
Yeah. So,
it's like, but he's getting everything he needs. Feeling. That's the worst part. Because he was on an IV drip the entire time, so he was getting everything. He was getting potassium and everything he needed.
At that point, all he really needs is distractions. Like, he just needs to not think about eating stuff. Of course, Walt and I are posting like pictures of the food we're eating to our.
Here's some tacos.
Look at these sausages.
Jeff is he's getting better. He should be back next week. I guess some housekeeping for the rest of the year. We've decided to delay our Game of the Year deliberations a little bit. It's been a weird year. Pushing them off into January seemed like the best thing to do.
Well, I mean, two of the games that I think we're most excited for this fall come out in December.
Yeah. And so one would have been like 2 days before we recorded. So
yeah, it's just not, you're not going to get through Cyberpunk in 2 days. It's just not going to happen.
So we want to give them a fair shake, and Immortals is the other one. And so we're going to push it till January and kind of give everything its due, including Hades. Walt, I bought that, so we'll see how that goes.
It's a good game. It's not just hype. It's literally, I think they found a way to perfect the formula for the whole rogue. What do you call that category now?
It's a roguelike.
Yeah. Like. They found a way to perfect it, and the actions, the actual gameplay mechanics are, it's as advanced as you want to make it. Yeah, it starts very casual, but then you realize quickly, like, it gets crazy, you know?
That's like, I've liked some of the roguelikes I've played, Rogue Legacy, Dead Cells. So I fall off of them really quickly because at some point I feel like I'm just not making progress. So we'll see. I'm going to give it fair shake, though. I believe Earl is too.
Mm-hmm. I think this one would vary because it's not just advancing in levels and in the dungeons. It's advancing conversations with NPCs and advancing like weapon discoveries and stuff like that. And even like traits and little special powers you collect. Everything kind of builds up. You'll see as you play along, it just opens up. And by the time you pass it for the first time, there's still another layer to unpack, which is pretty fantastic. Most roguelike games, once you get through the end boss, with exception of Dead Cell, they kind of did a fantastic job of making it feel fresh every single time with the randomization. This one just keeps opening layers up. The more advanced you get into it, the crazier it gets.
Yeah, I mean, I like that developer storytelling, so...
Oh, yeah, art's fantastic, sound, everything's fantastic.
But we'll see. But yeah, that we're going to give that a shot. for end of the year. But in its place, we are going to do our second Hall of Fame entries. And we are going to do a trio of top 10 lists, best PS4, best Xbox One, and kind of like an all-encompassing best of the generation list. So that'll be
the
our
first time ever. And for the first time ever, a brand new category, the best Apex.
That's right. Fantastic. The best Apex 3 years running. It's awesome.
Yeah. Sure, we can do that. I mean, I think we also have a best ongoing game, or Earl has at least suggested that. So it would certainly be up for that as well.
But yeah. If that's the case, then there's an argument for Apex. With the exception of last season, kind of like they kind of shit their bed. And they corrected a lot of issues this season. It's still, in my opinion, it's still the best one going forward. Although Fortnite probably gives it a really, really strong competition on there, because Fortnite has been able to just maintain this player base like no other, dude. I've never seen a game like Fortnite ever.
Well, it's more varied too than Apex. I mean, it's not like, yes, there's the battle royale mode, which, you know, you can play singles, duos, squads, but they also have like their special modes. They have their 50v50 mode.
Remember that there's the purchase one you can buy, which is like the players versus the world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is not awesome, by the way.
It's fine. That's right. Yeah. It's fine.
It's the only way, if you actually want achievements, to get achievements in the game.
Which sucks. Right? Because I would rather get them in the Battle Royale mode.
It stands out to me because of what they did already for next gen. They're already day one, right? There's a X Series X and the PlayStation 5 version of it that look night and day compared to what they had in consoles in PS4 and Xbox One. For the PS5 specifically, it already uses what the controller does, right? The guns, the trigger kind of stuff, the different tension points for pulling on different guns. The 3D audio, the visuals, like to me, I was like, when I loaded that up, and then I loaded Apex, even though Apex is running at 60 frames and looks great, you can still kind of tell, oh, it's the same build, right? We're not seeing the same kind of like shadow, like full max shadows and all that stuff that you kind of see on PC, right?
That's something that's, and I mean, I guess Apex does now have cross platform, right? Where you can play PC versus, you know, consoles. But that's something that has been impressive with Fortnite, you know, for a while now, is that you can be playing that game on your phone and it is this, like, it is not the same game. It does not look the same, but you are playing with people that are, you know, playing on Xbox or PC. Yeah. And it all just works.
But I think the biggest difference is in the actual gameplay, right? In Fortnite, it's kind of like, build up, build up, build up, build up, right? And cycle through weapons and kill someone. Apex is very much about your ability to either close in or engage from medium and long range, how you fight, how you outmaneuver people. It just move. If you stand still in that game, you're going to die.
It's just a different style, right? It's a more tactical game as opposed to Fortnite or whatever the fuck
it is. And the only reason, like, me and Tony have been such big champions of Apex, it's the high you get when you're in end game and everything's going fucking nuts and people are diving in or whatever, you're sliding, you're taking, engaging, and then boom, it says victory. You know, it's just like, it's an adrenaline kick that I don't think any other game can provide, even down to Rainbow Six, even though in which should be considered too for ongoing, because Rainbow Six, my God, Ubisoft has thrown everything at this thing to support it. And the player base is fantastic as well in that game.
Yeah, that game is super impressive. I don't play Rainbow Six, but just in the fact of that game launched in such a bad state, but Ubisoft has put the work in.
Yeah, they didn't give up on it.
And yeah, they've revitalized like that community, and now it's a huge game with tons of players that really seem to enjoy it.
And what's great, right, for even for non-console players, PC, you can build a game that runs Rainbow Six in like triple-digit frames per second, you know, 100+, and you're not going to break the bank. you know? And I think that's grossly like overlooked in accessibility nowadays, especially how expensive, because, you know, we know Sean listens to the pod and he's a friend. That man's been torturing himself trying to get his hands on a new GPU for a month and a half now.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's really, really bad right now. And the fact that like people who want to get into the game and run it max and run it really, really well, that's a game, you know, they're not going to abandon anytime soon. They just announced December 1st, I believe, right? Is the date, or is it the 5th? They're dropping a next gen build on console players. That's 4K 120 frames per second. I believe they're the first, aside from Gears 5, that are actually going to lock it down at 120.
That's cool.
I'm going to actually have to play that now, because that is Game Pass. Awesome.
Yeah. It's a Game Pass game.
It is. It's free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tony, does your TV do 120 hertz?
It fakes it.
Okay.
So not quite.
That's
TVs that do that are very rare right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've been like. Because like, it's a cool number, right? Like, oh, 120 is 60 frames faster than 60 yeah. frames a second. Yeah. But I am wondering, like, you know, Tony's TV can fake it. There are TVs out there. I'm just wondering how many people can utilize it just yet.
Should I plug it into my computer monitor just to see?
Yeah, that could be cool.
Yeah. Actually, a little fun thing for everyone at home, if you want to see the difference, get your iPhone out and do the slow-mo recording. And just record your screen. Record a game doing 30, 60, and if you have a monitor that does 120, when you do this slow, when you play it back, the 120 is going to look smooth. The 60 is going to see, you're going to see some drops here and there, and the 30, it's going to be like pretty much a slideshow every few frames. And that's essentially what your eye is doing in milliseconds.
Right. So yeah, it'll be impressive. When they get that out there for the people that can use it.
There's one TV that I know you guys saw it in the thing, right? The one I'm trying to get my hands on.
Yeah.
It's LG Nano something. It's 85 series. It's actually HDMI 2.1. It's at $500 range for the 49 inch. And it does true 120 frames per second. The only problem is right now it was delayed until January when they were delivered. If you bought it. And I just heard it looks like it's going to be more like February when they're actually going to start delivering new models. That's
because
as soon as the consoles went out, those TVs disappeared all over the internet.
Right. Which might be in the best interest of everybody. Like, you know, I know people want them right now, but you might actually want to wait for the new set of TVs to come out in January, February, because HDMI 2.1 is a bit of a mess right now. The standard isn't very much a standard just yet. Listening to you know, tech people talk about it, they are not happy with where it's at right now. So,
yeah,
you know, just
be patient.
Be patient. That's something that a lot of us are in low supply of currently.
I am so patient. I don't know what you're talking about. I would totally not buy this TV the moment I saw it.
Right. It's like that's the thing. Right. Like we're. It's. I think we talked about it a little bit last week. It's, you know, there's so much tension with everything that's been going on this year that like there's just this endorphin rush for like, oh, this new thing that I can get.
Plus, it's just so hard to get stuff now that was not difficult to get before. So now the moment you're like, oh, this thing I wanted is available, you have to jump on it. You feel like if you miss that opportunity, you might not get it again.
Yeah.
Because some asshole is going to have it on eBay at fucking twice the price.
That's where I'm at, right? Like when you guys pre-ordered your PS5s, I wasn't there yet, and now it's been impossible. You know, Sean's been trying to get the 3080. It's just impossible to get any of this stuff. Like Walmart put up PS5s today, and in less than a minute, they were all gone. Same for the Series X and the Series S, like all gone immediately.
And what pisses me off, like every single time they announce they're gonna put them out there, and Sony doesn't advertise when it goes up, but you know the Sony Direct puts you in the queue, and it's like today I was trying to get one for my brother, and I was 3 minutes out. I got in. The moment I got in, it spent like 8 minutes trying to get me into the store, and then it was sold out. You know?
Yep.
But what pisses me off, we can look on eBay right now, right? And today, we had listed a shit ton of PlayStation 5s and Xbox Series X because people use their bots to buy them and fucking sell them at an exaggerated price.
If you want to spend $1,200, you could get a PS5 right now, if you want.
Well, funny thing is, Amazon, they're tracking down everyone who's doing this, and they're listing their stores at $1,600 for the console themselves. Even if they bought it, they return the funds, they delist it, and they remove their store privileges.
On Amazon.
On Amazon. eBay doesn't give a flying shit because they get their commission higher and sell at a higher price.
Right. And that's good because like Amazon is also trying to, you know, they get their own stock in of this. So,
They're like, they're trying to sell these. And
At this point, Amazon should do the Apple that we talked about last time I was on the pod, right? At this point, Amazon should do the Apple thing where it's like, we'll take your pre-order and we'll let you know when we can fill it.
That would, you know? Honestly, that would make me feel better. Like, just put it in, let me order it, and then as you get them in, you fulfill them. And then I wouldn't be worrying about it anymore.
And let their service center filter out all the people that, hey, why are there 50 going to one address?
Exactly.
You know? And let them filter it out and like be like, okay, within the last month, this guy has ordered 20. Fuck this guy. You know? And bar him from, and suspend his account. You know? Until the surge goes away.
Yeah. And at this point, it's looking like maybe April? Maybe?
Yeah.
This is turning into a Wii situation where, you know, Sony is getting as much as they can out. Like, I don't think it's like Nintendo where they just did not have a ton out there. Mm-hmm. I think Sony is pushing, everything they're pushing out is being sold, but so many are going to bots.
It's crazy, dude. It's crazy.
All right. Well, so this is our Black Friday episode. Normally we are talking to you as you are standing in line trying to get some fun stuff. We are hoping you are not doing that this year. Yes,
do not do that, because the fun stuff you're going to be getting is COVID. Yeah, and that's actually not fun.
Not fun at all.
Wait, hold on. If you're standing in line somewhere, make sure you look at what you're standing in line for, because all the big stores said they're not doing Black Friday. So in person, it's all online. Make sure you're not just standing behind people like in New York where people just make a line randomly sometimes. All right?
What are we in line for?
You might be in trouble. You might be in trouble. So just make sure you know where you're standing.
Yeah. So the one thing I'm a little annoyed at is GameStop is forgoing the online route, and they are sending consoles to each of their stores.
Dumbass.
To have on Black Friday.
For the doorbuster bullshit? Oh,
yeah.
No.
Like, and max, like, well, minimum of two per console. So people are going to be ripping themselves apart trying to get at the two or four consoles that they have.
I'm sure they're doing this in a social distanced way. Like, yeah, I bet. Neighbors apart. They're not going to touch anybody.
You've been in a GameStop before. Very hard to social distance in that store.
Right. Like, really, if you look at, like, what, like, to stay 6 feet away from somebody at a GameStop, that means, like, one or two people per store. That's it.
Yeah. Look, I worked a part-time job at Circuit City back in the day when I was in college. And I know Black Friday people were lining up. We had to get higher store security to escort people to their cars for the high value stuff.
Oh God.
Cause there's a chance they'll be followed home, or it's, and I'm sure that's going to be the case for these consoles, right? Like if you're one of those people who's going to do that, man, circle around your house a few times. Make sure it isn't the same car following you around. Mm-hmm. Because people are stupid and desperate right now.
I totally got mugged by somebody on the way home from a GameStop once. Like, see? They totally, like, they saw me with the GameStop bag. They were probably completely disappointed. I think the game that I had in the bag was Brutal Legend.
Oh, yeah, that was
probably looked anyway. At them like, fuck, this is what we got?
Damn, I thought he was getting mad.
they took my wallet, and of course, the credit cards are useless because I canceled them instantly, and they're like $14. So they got Brutal Legend $14.
Fuck, man.
Good work, dude. Good work.
But I think this year, more than anything else, like, you guys got to think of what the world is. Isn't it just a pandemic? There's a lot of desperate people out there right now.
Yeah. There's
a lot of people who haven't had a paycheck for a while, and it's going to get dangerous.
Well, I was thinking about that. Was that 2008? Maybe it was 2009. It was like the economy was bad at the time. So
you got to be thinking this. You got to be smart this year. Like, you got to be smart. Even when you were buying toilet paper in bulk, people are doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, people mugging people for toilet paper. They're definitely going to mug you for your PS5 or your Xbox Series X.
Thing about buying all that online now. Like, it shows up at your house in a nondescript box.
Yep.
It's great. It's awesome.
And you're home. And the difference is you're home.
You're always at home. You're not going to miss this delivery.
if this was a normal year, I would not have had my Series X delivered to my house. I would have had it delivered to my office because I don't trust it sitting out in front of my house for hours until I get home.
My Xbox One, I got it delivered to work.
Yeah.
Secure there. It's not secure at all.
Right.
I'm going to brag a little bit. My Xbox One showed up at my GameSpot offices, two and a half months before launch. So,
reach right through my mic right now. And it was free too. I had to pay for mine.
Yeah, it was free. Microsoft just made me sign away my life
for 2.5 months.
Yeah. Good trade-off.
You get to play all those awesome launch games though, like Rise, Son of Rome, and Dead Rising 3, both of which I enjoyed, but
I think it was the whole great games. Honestly, the biggest high was like nobody else has seen this, and I'm one of I think at the time it was 20 people who were on Xbox Live under that console when we plugged it in the office.
That's always cool.
I'm just thinking back to that launch. That was the worst launch ever. Like, people are complaining about this launch. There were no games for those.
No, I'm really looking at and you look back and everyone's like, oh, Xbox One was terrible. Xbox, they had the better launch lineup.
They did.
Like, PlayStation's launch lineup was Killzone, Shadowfall, Knack.
Yeah, that's right.
The bad infamous game, the worst one.
Yeah. That's the lines, guy. You remember the lines in all the retail stores?
Yep.
I was so hard up for games back then, though. I remember buying Thief at launch. That game was terrible.
the best game that came out in the launch window
Titanfall. Wasn't
until, like, yeah, it was in March.
It was February, like March. Man, yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, at least here, like, you have the, and they weren't backwards compatible either, so now, like, we have everything that we wanted to play previously, plus all the new stuff. Much better launch, I think, for both systems. Mm-hmm. PlayStation, I think, maybe a little bit ahead just on that they have exclusives that launched. I think both lineups here are impressive. So
it's nice when you're like, my launch lineup is every game that came out in the previous generation plus these few right here. That's just a great selling point for both consoles. It's just awesome that they can do that now.
Plus, like, in December, we didn't get a system seller in Cyberpunk, right? And then at this point next year, who knows what's going to be out there? You know how loaded the both libraries are going to be. You know,
yeah.
Some exciting games coming pretty soon.
Yeah, we could be looking at like Horizon 2 and. And Halo Infinite and a new Fable game.
Is it God of War 2?
God of War possibly as well.
God of War next year holiday, I believe, is when they have the window for.
Yeah. Hitman 3. Give me that.
Plus, that's early. That's early, right?
Eden Quest is supposed to be next year. That's the new from the Souls guys. That's the new Souls game.
Elden Ring.
Elden Ring. Yeah, that's and apparently Phil Spencer said he's played it and it's fantastic. He's like, everyone's like, oh, I thought it was just a little teaser. He's like, no, it's a game, you know.
It's the one written by George R. R. Martin, right? Or he's collaborating with it.
And the guys who did Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, George, spend some time on Winds of Winter, please.
Oh, geez, man. I'm literally, I bought Ready Player 2. I'm hoping it arrives sometime soon. You know, because it's like I'm desperate to finish, to read something, like, you know what I mean, that I started. But yeah. Ready Player 1, Ready Player 2, ready to go. I don't know. I haven't read any reviews for Ready Player 2.
People are mocking it. The first book wasn't great either. So
The first book just kind of tapped into everyone's like poison for nostalgia.
And that it seems like this is more of that, but it's also been like what, a decade since Ready Player One?
Oh no, dude.
And everybody else is has been tapping the nostalgia.
I'm
just more references.
It's gonna be like the Dune books where I'm reading the sons. Books that are just nothing like the father's stuff.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. It'll be fine.
I'll move on. I'll get the sequel to the one that dude that gets lost in Mars, that gets left there. You remember that book? The Matt Damon movie too?
The Martian?
The Martian. Yeah, there's a sequel to it that I'm going to pick up. I'll jump on that.
A sequel?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know.
Still the Martian?
No, it's
Return of the Martian. It's got to have a title like that.
Yeah, I know Andy Weir wrote another book after that, Artemis.
It's kind of like a Artemis. It's kind of like a spiritual thing. It's not direct.
Yeah, Artemis is good. But yeah, it's not. It's just another sci-fi. It doesn't actually relate to the Martian. It's interesting though. It's about a moon colony. That becomes kind of like a murder mystery.
Well, it keeps with it. The reviews I've read, like, kept with the tone of the Martian, you know, where felt like a really like good flow from start to finish, you know?
Yeah. And I think Andy Weir's a really good sci-fi writer, and like his understanding of actual science lends itself to the writing. Like, it makes it more believable.
Yeah,
which is why the Martian was, you know, as good as it was. So, and he has a new book coming out in sometime early next year as well. So, you have some stuff to read, Walt.
He didn't write The Girl on the Train, right? That was the same person who wrote Gone Girl, or am I wrong?
I don't know. He did not write Girl on the Train, though.
Okay, I'm gonna look that up. I'm sorry, while you're talking, because now I'm stuck in this loop, like. Internet wormhole. Sorry.
Girl on the Train. I am only bringing up the movie. Paula Hawkins wrote the novel. I don't know who she is though.
Paula Hawkins. Is. Okay, so let me see who wrote Gone Girl.
Gone Girl. Good movie. I did not read.
It is. Gone Girl. Gillian Flynn.
She's the one that wrote Sharp Objects,
and
Dark Places, which are some dark books.
I didn't watch the movie The Girl on the Train. I haven't watched that one.
I've read that book. It's okay.
Emily Blunt. I haven't read it. I haven't seen it. I haven't read it either. I should jump on that because Gone Girl is a fantastic read and a great movie too.
Yeah, I haven't seen The Girl on the Train movie, but the book was interesting. It's kind of about gaslighting and such. Reading's fun.
Let's talk about books on the video game podcast.
I like books.
Oh, me too.
But yes, video games. You guys play anything this week?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Well, actually, before we get out, Tony, what are you drinking?
Oh, so I've actually moved on to my second beer now. But my first beer was a salted caramel imperial ale. It literally tasted like a caramel.
I had one like that last weekend, and I don't. Do you know what the brewery was?
Southern Tier.
I wonder if that's the one I had.
It's very possible they're out of New York, so it definitely would be in your area.
But yeah, just like a caramel, salted caramel candy though.
It was so good. I've moved on to real beer now, though, like beer that tastes like actual beer. So now I'm drinking an IPA, Side Reel Year 2, from a brewery that's down the street from me, called Astrolab. It's delicious.
That's a nice name, though. Astrolab, I like that.
It's a great name.
I am drinking one from the Brooklyn Brewery, a black chocolate stout.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So my brother texts me what I'm drinking because I don't know what the hell I made. So I made an iced tea and rum cocktail, which is iced tea, ice, white rum, lemon juice, and lemon slices. Fantastic.
Ooh. And we're calling this the Walter.
The Walter.
He said like I could it. Call it. I could call it backyard iced tea. That's the name of the cocktail in most bars.
So if you go into a bar, you can order a backyard iced tea, and they will.
Yeah, and specify what kind of rum, a white rum or a spice rum, because they'll serve it either one, depending on how you like it.
And what kind of rum are you using?
White rum.
White rum. Yeah, it's the sweeter rum, right?
Like, yeah, yeah. It mixes better with the iced tea itself.
But yeah, so games. What have you guys been playing?
I think we've both been playing Assassin's Creed, right?
No, I'm playing Days Gone.
Oh, wait, that's right. You're playing Days Gone.
I've tried Assassin's Creed.
Oh, okay. And Jeff is getting sick of Assassin's Creed.
Which we knew was going to happen.
And it was inevitable. He's like, it feels grindy. Of course it's grindy. It's an Assassin's Creed game.
Right. And it's one of the new Assassin's Creed games, which are basically RPGs. Like,
yes.
A 50-hour game doesn't seem like... Because Jeff likes to bounce around. I don't see how a 50-hour game is going to hold him down for 50
also,
hours.
I was looking at his achievement list. He's barely ahead of me, but he hasn't played that much of it. So he's getting sick of it after like 10 hours.
Yeah.
Which
is about what I expected.
I mean, he does fantastic on games that are like 15 and 25 hours to complete.
Yeah.
He knocked those out of the park, but a 50-hour plus game? I don't know, man.
That's a bit much for him. But this is a great Assassin's Creed game. I'm really liking it. Some of the new mechanics are really cool. I like raids. So basically you have your ship and you take it to like little enemy held settlements and basically raid them for supplies. You kill everybody in the village. You steal all their stuff. It's very Viking-y. Is that a word? Viking-y?
Sure.
Viking-ish. Viking-like. Anyway. It gets you into the spirit of being a Viking, right? Because that's basically what they did, right? They just went to places, stole all their stuff, took it back home, and what you're doing is using those supplies that you've gathered to build up your own settlement. And as you build up your settlement, like you get access to new shops and new supplies, and you can recruit people, and it's there's like an assassin's building you can build that gets you access to like the web of Templars that you can go out into the universe and track down. It's like this whole raiding mechanic feeds into the other mechanics. It's pretty cool.
So what you're describing to me sounds a lot like the villa in Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
Okay. They're like way more robust, obviously.
It's, oh yeah, no, totally. That was kind of like a throw in that they're like, oh, people like this. They were really surprised, I think, when they developed that game that people got so much into the villa development. And it is kind of linear in the same sense. I haven't noticed any like you could choose which building you build first, but there's like a very set number of buildings that you can build, and they're like locations are all set. So it's not like a Sim City or whatever. You're not like choosing where stuff goes and like figuring out paths and that layouts and stuff. It's just kind of a mechanic, but it's cool, it's fun. And then it switches from you being in command of a ship to, you know, being a combatant unknown. Well, one time as it was doing that switch, for some reason my ship flew up.
Let's see, visual holds that it was dropping below 30 frames in some situations. I guess that's fixed now. It's supposed to be locked at 60 now. They fixed the issue with the 4K. Because remember, you guys saw that I tweeted at you guys in our DM. I had one of my buddies who's running a a 12-core CPU and a 3090, and he was dropping below 60 frames on it on 4K.
Great.
Apparently that's being addressed. And the amount of fixes, this is a gigantic patch, by the way.
I'm not surprised.
It's a gigantic, everything from like background issues and title screen. They fixed enhances, options are, there's options to choose between performance or visual quality on the PlayStation 5 and Series X. They resolved the issue where it would default and have you on the Series X, and instead of playing the Series X version, it was making you play the Xbox One version. They fixed that issue. Something wrong with the smart delivery, apparently. It just goes on and on and on. It's the notes are pretty insane. I'm actually going to link it out to you so you can look at it yourself while you finish telling us about it. Sorry.
Other cool stuff. The combat. I think I talked a little bit about it last time. I'm trying to get into it a bit more. You can choose what weapons you carry. So most of the Assassin's Creed games, you know, you're carrying a sword or a spear or whatever. Here you can dual wield, and you can dual wield with anything. So you could choose to carry like a shield and an axe, or two axes, or two swords. And it will change how the combat works for you. My preference so far has been a shield and an axe. The axe seems to be pretty good at busting the shields of the enemies in half. I also picked up this special shield that, if you parry correctly, will light your weapon on fire.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you parry the enemy, and now I have a flaming axe. So it's kind of a cool mechanic. You can also, when you parry correctly, stun the enemies for an instant kill, which normally triggers this really cool animation where you kill them with their own weapon, whatever that weapon happens to be, and they all look super cool. I will say one of the reasons why I like carrying around the axe. You spend a lot of time chopping people's heads off, which is fun. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little too bloodthirsty for
decapitations.
Decapitations are great. I have not spent a whole lot of time sneaking around and stabbing people. You do at some point unlock the hidden blade, which is actually a hilarious sequence that I won't spoil for you because you probably haven't gotten that far yet. When Aor gets the hidden blade, it's pretty funny. But yeah, I haven't used it a whole lot. I think I probably assassinated like four or five people, and I've killed dozens and dozens of people.
Just prefer to fight the Viking style. Go right up and attack. Viking
style combat is a lot of fun.
You go through the intro, you play as the little kid, and then it like fast forwards.
Yep.
And you're given a choice of like, do you want to play as male Ivor, female Ivor, or I don't know. It's like a weird, like, just let it pick Ivor.
Yes.
What, how did you go there?
I went with the female Ivor.
Okay.
I liked the female lead in Odyssey.
Yeah.
And it she actually fits really well here too. I mean, I've seen plenty of male Vikings. It would be kind of cool to see a female one. So that's kind of the route I went.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, historically, like probably when we were growing up, it was all like, oh, with the males went out and fought. But like we found over the last like 20 years or so, as people study the Vikings more, that women were just as much involved in combat.
Yeah, they have a lot of evidence of female Vikings heading out on longships, having weapons. Like it was a thing. So it's good that they offer that option. I don't know what that third option really does. I will say
weird, they do work
it into the story, because I don't think it's clear to the people in the Animus whether Ivor was female or male.
Yeah, because I'm drawing a blank on her name, but the new new real world protagonist.
Yeah.
She is not a descendant. So they have found a way to jump into other people's memories at this point. And she's kind of playing it by ear and trying to figure stuff out as she goes along. So it's
now I got a little lost in the real world story. Is she the one who killed Desmond?
I don't believe so.
Like they make references to her killing someone, and another team of like modern day assassins being upset with her and unwilling to work with her anymore. I'm like,
maybe now I have to like look it up, because like that's actually pretty cool if like she's Desmond's killer.
Yeah,
they finally tied it all back after 15 right. years.
Right, exactly.
Anything else going on in that game?
I've been climbing points and synchronizing and doing Assassin's Creed stuff. It's great.
Interesting, like you can I think you could do it in Odyssey too, but it seemed more free flowing here, where you can just climb anything.
No, you can. I haven't found a thing I can't climb so far. Like even mountains, you're like this random mountain, you can climb any random part of it. It's getting through the environment is super easy now. Also, you still have the magic horse if you played Odyssey,
where you just whistle and it shows up.
Yep. Which for some reason, maybe I missed the tutorial. Maybe I walked past whoever was supposed to tell me this. I just figured out I pressed the wrong button one time and whistled and my horse came. Like, oh, magic horse is back. You also have a horn that you can blow that will bring your ship. So like if you've like wandered too far away from your ship and you're like standing near the shore and you're like, I really want to sail somewhere right now, you can blow the horn and the ship will come.
That is useful. So there's just plenty of times in Odyssey where it's just like, man, my ship is so far away.
Right. You literally have to like fast travel to a port to get the ship. That's the only way you can get it.
Neat. I'm looking forward to playing more of that. So Walt, have you played any of Valhalla yet?
Oh, not yet.
No.
Not yet at all. I'm actually knocking out some. I got curious trying to run some older games and a new console stuff. I got Jedi Fallen Knight. Ran through that. Fun. Great. I enjoyed the story. Combat was okay too. Days Gone. Surprised that went under the radar for so long for me. It's really well done. Really well done. And the actual engine is really impressive, and it runs so much better on a PS5. I can't wait to see what they do with a sequel. And the horde, the way they throw that many zombies at you at once, it's kind of like World War Z, in an open world. So, like, you could be riding your motorcycle, and all of a sudden you just see a wave of zombies come out of nowhere,
Yep, and it's like World War Z, at least you have your teammates with you. Like, this is solo. Like, you're mm-hmm. trying to figure it out by yourself.
Yeah,
And it can get maddening.
Yeah, which to me it's fun because you can do like a distractor and get in the pile up and then set them on fire and then toss a frag and leave and run and then different zombie types, and it's fun, dude. I'm really enjoying it, and I do not hate the characters, And the reason why is because the facial expressions in this game, are really well done. And I looked it up, and it's an Unreal Engine game, which I was shocked. I was like, oh, shit, this is all running on Unreal. No, dude, I enjoyed it. There's a human element to it. I'm emotionally attached to the motorcycle I customize in the game. When a zombie knocks it down, I kind of lose my shit, let's see what else. Demon Souls is just kind of sitting in the wings. I've just kind of like played a little bit of, and really haven't dived in because I know that's going to take over my life completely, just like any other nice. Soul game, and I still haven't started Gears Tactics yet on Series X. I really want to get into that.
Should. It's good. Yeah. Good XCOM type tactics game.
Oh, I can't wait to see it running the way it's supposed to run. We're right. both running it on PCs that weren't running it
well. We couldn't run. Tony was the only one that was able to run it properly.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. You guys will like it when you actually see it.
Yeah, it looks great. It's like, wow, this actually looks amazing. I'm impressed that my PC was able to run it and they had settings that low.
The fact that my laptop was able to run it, you know, on their custom settings, when even every time I started, it's like, hey, you shouldn't be running this game.
Exactly. But yep. We're gonna
let you. Like yells at you, what are you doing?
Yep. This isn't gonna run. You want to do this anyway? Yes, I do.
All right. Good luck with your CPU overheating. You know.
Yeah, that's a fun game. Tony, you play anything else?
The only other new thing I tried was that, well, not new, quote unquote new. I can't even speak anymore.
Tetris effect.
I finally gave it a shot. It's Tetris with new music and flashy lights in the background.
Yes, it is. It is just Tetris. There's a little bit more to it than that.
I was expecting more, guys. You and Jeff had me like really excited for it. New Tetris, get in there and
play through the journey mode, which is like it's the single player, and like the way that the way it fluctuates back and forth, the way it works with music. Although you don't like rhythm games, so that may be a setback for you, but. The way, you know, tilting the blocks works with the music, and and then as you're progressing through each area, like it's not just like you go play regular Tetris, you start on level one, like speed level one, it's slow. As you progress, it gets faster until eventually you can't do it anymore.
Yeah, this goes up and down, I've noticed.
Yeah, it'll fluctuate. So and it does so with the music and sometimes with how the game is progressing. So there's a different challenge there.
Yeah.
Because like you could be you know, playing on level 10, speed level 10, and all of a sudden it drops to 4. And that can fuck you up just in like you think going from 4 to 10 would screw you up because the jump, but actually moving reverse can screw you up as well because you're not expecting it to drop and be slow. And so like the way you're choosing to drop your pieces can actually impact you there. You should try the connected mode as well, which is the multiplayer. That's the new part of this. That's really cool where you play with three other people against what they call an AI boss. And that AI boss it's playing Tetris on its own off on the side and then dropping shit on you, kind of like if you were playing regular multiplayer Tetris, but you're working with these three people to build up there. And then occasionally all three boards will meld together. So it's this giant Tetris board where you are then dropping pieces. You can drop pieces on like what will eventually be their board, or they can drop pieces on your board, and you're trying to work together to clear lines to hit the boss. But if you end up with people like I did that are just morons,
oh no,
and they're not clearing lines and just building up on your own end, it can be a little frustrating. But when it works, it's really, really cool. Like it's a really neat multiplayer version of Tetris.
I do like how the music works with the gameplay. Like it's pretty cool to. Like you're clearing lines and it's like changing the rhythm and the beat, or just dropping a block sometimes will be the music in that particular level. So it's kind of cool how in each level the music works differently.
Yeah, it's about midway through, there is a cityscape type level where the music is this kind of like jazz, but you are playing like it's everything you just described where as you move the blocks and drop the blocks and hit lines, that's the music. So like you playing it is creating this like kind of ambient jazz music that is coming out of the board. It's pretty neat.
It did. I've been playing it on PC. Mm-hmm. Do not play with a mouse.
Oh no.
I had such a hard time. I switched to the keyboard. I'm like, oh, this is so easy now. Thank God.
Yeah, I bet. Like you need what amounts to a D-pad. Like yeah. So whether that's, you know, the keyboard or like, mouse would be a nightmare, I think.
It was. I was cursing. Like my kids were like, because I was playing that because, you know, it's kid friendly. So my kids walk in, it doesn't matter if they see it. And I'm sitting there like, fuck! Because I kept like screwing up because of the stupid mouse.
It's like it was kid friendly.
Oops, it's not now. I'm gonna have to rate this game R for language.
My wife will come in when I'm playing and she'll just like it. The visuals are very mesmerizing. For like, I guess if you're watching it.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things, like I feel it's wasted. Like yeah. I can tell there's all this cool visual stuff going on in the background. I don't see any of it though, because I'm locked in
focusing on the board, yeah. Which was my one complaint when I played it on PS4 2 years ago. Because it's all this really cool shit's going on around it, but I am laser focused on the blocks.
Yeah.
But my wife is just like, she's like, that's really neat. Like there's like,
yeah, exactly. my son is like, look at the jellyfish. I'm like, what jellyfish?
Yeah. And my girlfriend's like, wait, let me get half a bottle of wine in and then start playing that Tetris game.
I'm why? Waiting.
He's like, I like the colors.
Actually, that might be a good one to
try and play drunk
or stoned something.
I'm waiting for Jeff to, and it'll, you know, have to be healthy for it. But he wants to do it on hallucinogens.
Oh God,
I'm waiting for that review.
I don't think he's gonna be able to touch any of that stuff until the new year. To be honest with you,
yeah,
he's such a limited diet right now. You know,
sure, I'm sure he'll wait that long. I'm sure.
I think it will. I think this kind of scared him from what I'm picking up through our conversation.
I'm sure. He's terrified.
It scares him long enough to
get help. Hopefully, man. Hopefully. Broken pooper is no joke, guys. Take care of your pooper.
But while I see you falling off playing Tetris because your score's not going up.
Oh, because days, you don't mean open world games. Once I get into it, like I get into it, you know? But I try to play as much as I can, and then my evenings, you know, I'm doing Apex and trying to get a couple hours of Days Gone in between, you know. I'm surprised that I hammered through Jedi Fallen Knight so fast, you know. Or was it Fallen Order? Fallen Order. I ran through it so quickly. Like at a certain point I was like, I put it on easy just to get through the story and stuff, and that actually made it more enjoyable because like the game engine is good, but it's not perfect to the point where, you know, it's kind of like Twitch reaction good. You know what I mean?
Right.
So even if you're like, oh, I see what's coming, let me do this, you have to wait on the animation. It's not like Ninja Gaiden or something like that, even though they kind of wanted it to be, I guess, to a point, because they really wanted you to do counteracts and really have a Jedi duel, you know, with lightsabers.
But you're right. It is animation heavy, kind of like other Souls games, right? Like where it's
very much.
I don't necessarily agree with this game, because a lightsaber doesn't have any mass, so yeah. You should be able to course correct faster than you can. Out of this,
but I think that's why, like, I just instantly try to compare it to Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2, which is like. Even go back and play those games. It's still, that engine is still so Twitch reactionary, you know? They throw so many aggressive ninjas at you, and because they expect you to be able to parry and counteract and block them and throw one this side, grab the other one, suplex it midair, and it's all like, da 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 da, and it's done, right?
Yep.
I kind of get the sense that maybe the next version of this, they're going to perfect the engine a little bit more, and it's going to be less of a. It felt like. Less fun and more like, oh, let me see what I can exploit in this battle to, you know what I mean? To get the upper hand.
You mean like a Souls game?
That's right. That sounds like a Souls game to me.
It sounds like a Souls game, but you're a Jedi, right? You should be able, like, at the beginning, when it started, you're kind of like, you're just walking at this group of stormtroopers and deflecting stuff and parrying this dude and all that stuff. But then they add like a variation. Of fighters, you know,
the force pike and
Yeah, and then all of a sudden the game doesn't feel, it doesn't feel like you're in advantage at all. It feels like you're a Padawan, you know what I mean? And you're just looking to cheap shot people until you can beat them up. But if you're supposed to be a Jedi, you know, you're in my eyes, you should be able to, whatever they throw at you, you can counteract.
Well, you're not. You're not a Jedi, though. You are a Padawan.
Yeah.
That, like, is hasn't really been trained. So maybe, like, yeah, in the next one, when, because I think Cal becomes a knight towards the end of that game.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets knighted.
Yeah. So, which is still questionable if he's ready for that. But
yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to more of that. That was a fun game last year, except for the sliding sequences. Where do you fall on the sliding sequences?
I'm indifferent. Doesn't really bother me because I played it after the patch that fixed the platforming significantly. I know it was a lot more broken when it came out. Even the wall jumping was not working effectively. You know, you were jumping and it was just shooting itself to death instead of like aiming itself at, you know, the next wall or the rope that you were supposed to grab onto.
Right.
So it wasn't as frustrating as some other people, even though, yeah, too much of it, man. Too much of it.
Yes. Jeff loved it for whatever reason, but I think the rest of us were like, this sucks.
It's the worst part. Another reason why I always think of Jeff as like the platform guy. He loves platform games, you know, where you do that kind of stuff, you know?
He likes bad platformers. This is a fact.
No, he turned on Crash Bandicoot pretty hard this week.
He turned after it after saying it was good. It was okay. I'm kind of.
He always does that though. That's always Jeff thing. He always goes nostalgia first, and then reality hits when he hits a game.
When the rest of us knew Crash sucked.
That's right.
Even the original was not good.
That. Why are you playing that? What's wrong with you?
All three of us can agree, right? The original Crash was not good.
The original is garbage, and it is marginally better on the, you know, that remake that they did. Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't good then. As Sean said in our chat, like, it was garbage at the time. Like,
yeah.
when you compare it to something like Super Mario 64 or Sonic. Sonic Adventure was the first 3D Sonic. Mm-hmm. When you compare it to that, it's like, this is garbage. It's really, really bad.
Yeah.
Let's see. I finished Call of Duty. Ooh. That was fun.
How long did it take you?
The campaign's about 4.5 hours. So short. I didn't run one of the missions because that was on me. I had the opportunity to do it multiple times. It's just, it is one where you are supposed to find evidence throughout the other missions. And you know, if you find the evidence, you can not just kill the target, but also take down his network. And so I was trying to find the evidence to take down the network. And then it gets up to a point where it's like, hey, we're going to leave this area now. You're in like this warehouse that you're kind of like your hub world, mm-hmm. where you can choose your missions, and it's like, we're gonna leave here, and that's kind of like your clue that the game is starting to wrap up. And it does tell you like you won't be able to access it. I was like, yeah, fuck it, like I don't have the evidence, and I just want to finish at this point. So I just finished that. I do want to go through it again though, because there looks like there are multiple endings to it.
Chris,
yeah,
Chris, get on Walmart.
Oh, Walmart.
I have it. I have a PlayStation in my cart right now. I'm checking out. It's available right now.
Oh, go!
Walmart. Yeah. So that is a fun. It's a fun version of that. I'm showing out of stock. Well,
I'm checking out with Walmart right now. Store pickup.
Lucky you.
You better be sending that to Chris then.
It's for my brother.
Sending it to his brother. I will get one by April.
You will get one. You will. You'll end up with one eventually.
Maybe just double check.
And there's so many games out right now that I don't need it. Like, I want it, but I don't need it.
I mean, how badly do you want to play Bugsnax?
And that's the thing, right? I have that PlayStation Plus membership that, you know, Walt told us about, so I re-signed up for that. I own Bugsnax. I don't have the console to play it on yet, but I own Bugsnax. As soon as I get one, I can play that dumb game.
Okay, no, never mind.
My son really enjoyed it. He thought it was great. So
this is messed up. Like, it's telling me I can pick up at a store, but it's in New Jersey. I'm not going to buy from a store in New Jersey.
There you go. You should order this for Chris.
Mail me your credit card, and I will pick it up.
Delivery not available. Pickup only, and it's only at 150 Harrison Avenue, Kearney. Where the hell is that? Pickup location 11212. That's New York. Like, no, I'm going to have to remove it. Somebody else is going to be lucky right now.
No.
Somebody lives in Kearney.
Yeah, like, I have that extension, the Octo thing I told you to install.
Yeah.
It just, anytime there's stock, it will tell me.
Yeah, I have a stock tracker that is supposed to let me know as well. So Call of Duty, I really like the multiplayer. Time to kill is a little bit slower than it has been, so that works for me. In that I am not spawning and immediately dying, which is how Call of Duty usually goes. And I'm doing decently. Like, you know, I have bad games where I'm under one, but I'm also doing like over one KD in a lot of games. So I think the maps are fine. They all look great. There aren't a lot of them, though. There are 7 less than last year's version, which isn't a great number. But
way less. Wow.
Yeah. Like, it launched with 16 in Modern Warfare, and this launched with 9, which 9 doesn't sound like a small number, but compared to 16 last year, it is. Warzone, and I played Zombies. I don't like Zombies.
Oh, no. And you love Zombies.
You like the zombie mode?
No, I'm saying you personally love zombies.
Yeah, I do like the zombie genre. I don't like this mode. I don't think I've ever really liked zombies in Call of Duty, though. But this is very, like, so I've played a couple matches now, and one, I think the quality of player there is way more toxic than your regular Call of Duty player.
Oh, wow.
Like, I got thrust into a match where it was like level 7 or 8 already. Like, so they just paired me into an ongoing match. It's my first time playing. I did not know what to do really, cause I haven't played it yet, and we're getting swarmed and I'm going down. They pick me up. I'm still getting swarmed. I go down again. And then they just start yelling and cursing at me.
Like, oh God.
This isn't conducive to me doing any better. And you're all being assholes. I don't want to play with you. So, yeah. I don't know how much more I'll be playing of Zombies. And the one other thing I played is a game called Bright Memory. Have you guys heard of this one?
No.
The Xbox Series exclusive, I guess. I don't know if it's available on the Xbox One. The PR thing I got said it was a series exclusive. It's available on Steam as well. It has a full 1,000 achievement points, but it only takes about 35 minutes to beat.
Oh God.
It is basically a demo for another game called Bright Memory Infinite that is coming out at some point. It's a beautiful looking game made by one person. And it plays like an old school shooter, like
a stick shooter,
no, like a old school first person shooter, like
Doom or
something. Yeah, like Doom, but so super fast. But it also has a melee component to it, so you have like this sword that can do special powers with the sword. So I think I'm trying to think of the name of the first person shooter, Shadow Warrior. Do you ever play that?
No.
So it's a game, it's a first-person shooter, but you also have like a ninja sword. And this is very similar to that. Super fast-paced, The sword has special light powers that you can upgrade. There's an upgrade path to it. Game's fun. Like, the voice acting's terrible. The story makes zero sense, and it's over in 35 minutes. But I had a good time with it. I don't know if it's worth the $8.
$8. Okay.
Yeah. It's
free, I'll play it for 35 minutes to get my 1,000 achievement points.
Right. So you have to play it for more than 35 minutes. You have to play it 3 times to get all 1,000. Because there's achievements for beating it once, beating it a second time, and then beating it a third time. I did it twice, thinking that maybe playing it the second time there'd be more story, like maybe. Some games where it's like, oh, you play through it the first time, but it's not really the game. And then the second time, it's not really, like, we're adding layers. It's just the same game, but it's harder the second time around. And then the third time I started it, it was like this, like these dogs that you face, like they're the first real enemy you come across, are taking like a whole clip of, so it's, they've just bullet sponged them at the end. That's not fun to me. But yeah, if it shows up on Game Pass, I would give it a go because it's, you know, 35 minutes, super pretty, like brilliantly done visually. And, you know, the movement and gameplay is actually really fun. It's just, it's 35 minutes long. So I feel bad going, like, I don't think they should call it a game. It should really just be a demo. Like, hey, we have this other game coming out. It's going to be a full thing. And this is like the first episode of that or whatever, but it's neat, neat little thing. Yeah. So you guys,
what's that play website you use to track your achievements?
I mean, there's a bunch of them, but trueachievements.com.
True Achievements is what I use.
That's the one you used that gave you like the tally, right? Of the,
yeah, that's the one that had that thing. Yeah.
Okay.
It's great. That's a great site. It has the purpose behind True Achievements, I guess, is that some achievements are worth more than others. Like, they're not just like this is a 50 point achievement. Mm-hmm. They assign their own point values to them. You have your own score, like your actual score, your gamer score that Xbox has, but then based on how people in the community get these achievements, the true achievement score goes up and down.
What's your total at? I'm at 65K.
For what? For gamer score or true achievement gamer score?
Gamer score. I haven't even looked at the other thing yet.
What are you at? Well,
65K.
Add 200,000.
What the fuck? Yeah, dude. God damn, dude.
I am at 265,260.
What are you at, Tony? Do you have it in front of you?
I'm at 122.
Wow, dude.
1,000, yeah. Sorry, Walt. Sorry.
I mean, but I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I will go on like some achievement hunting sprees.
Yeah.
And about 10,000 of them are shitty achievements where I've scammed to get them.
Right, but if you have Game Pass, like, you can do one of those and go on a binge for a week and come out with 100-200K.
Oh yeah. There's some games in there you could hop in and get a bunch of points really quickly if you really want to.
Oh yeah, I mean, that takes some time though. If all the Walking Dead games, that's instant 1,000 achievement points per.
Yeah, you have to put the 8 hours in to get them, but yes, you'll get your 1,000 achievements. One of the cool things that True Achievements does too with their games is, so you'll get the entire list, but if you are trying to get like a certain achievement, some of those achievements actually have guides to them, and it'll show you how to get the achievements.
It makes it easy. Yeah.
It's a neat resource. Send us a friend request, Walt, if you join there.
I just did. I just got to find you in my list or something.
Yeah, you should be able to like invite your friends, and then it'll pull in your Xbox friends, and you can then sort who you want to actually send a system-wide thing to.
Got it. I see it now.
Evidently, that site is now starting to import your screenshots and game clips.
Wow, dude.
That so if you save like a game clip, it is pulling it into your profile on True Achievements as well.
Sweet. There'll be so many clips of Walt being down.
Dude, I have a clip I'm sitting on that you didn't want me to put on social media, buddy. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, this was a mistake. This was a mistake. My friends list apparently is stupid long because the IGN days. Oh, no.
Don't send it to everybody. You can like individually choose us.
Yeah, but trying to find you now is kind of impossible. It's importing little by little.
Here, I can send you a friend request because my list is not 7 billion long.
Yeah. Good Lord. I need to clean that up. Because, you know, it's one of those things you kind of never look at, you know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, why would you clean that up? Let's see. Not even showing up.
Yeah, I'm looking you guys up right now, and it's just a series. Oh, wait, no, you're here.
There you are.
Because you already have a profile.
Hey, you can search. Wait, have you guys seen the new games with gold for December?
I looked at it. I didn't see anything that was very exciting.
It's another really weak month.
The one game was actually on the PlayStation list.
Mm-hmm.
Just Cause 4 apparently is optimized for PS5 and Xbox Series X. So that might be, because it's on the PlayStation list, that might be one worth trying out.
Yeah. So PlayStation is Just Cause 4, Rocket Arena, and Worms Rumble?
Xbox,
which isn't out yet. A Worms game we have not yet played.
Okay. So that's a new game coming. That sounds, sure, I want that one then. Worms games are fun.
Worms are fun. And apparently has real-time combat. I don't know what that means. But that might be insane. So.
And Xbox is giving us the Raven Remastered, Bleed 2, stacking from the 360, Xbox 360, and Saints Row, Get Out of Hell.
Yeah, that's a weak lineup.
Game Pass at all the EA Play,
right? So there's that.
And the PC guys are getting it December 1st too. All the EA Play stuff.
Yep. And I actually think they have a different list of games that is available on PC. So that'll be neat. Not much other news, I don't think. It's been a quiet week. PlayStation sold a lot of consoles to scalpers.
Shocker.
There was that report that I guess one scalper had 3,500 PlayStation 5s in their inventory. I just
want to track these people down and murder them.
So you say that. There was a report. I don't know if you guys saw on launch day last week, there were images of like this one guy was posting, like he just had like a wall of PS5s and he was like, come get them, $1,100 for disc, $900 for that guy was doxxed. And
he was a dick about it too. He put some sort of comment in there. He's like, fuck your feelings or something.
Yeah, literally that was it. He said, fuck your feelings. I still got some of these available.
So somebody found out where he lives and actually robbed him, which on one hand, it sucks that like that guy was put in any sort of physical danger, but also don't be a dick.
Right.
So, when you do that stuff and then you flaunt it like that, you're putting yourself in a position where bad people are going to do worse things. You yourself are a bad person. Worse people are going to do worse things to you.
Yes.
It's, again, it goes back to what we talked about this year, right? There's a lot of really desperate people who are looking for any excuse to take out this the all this frustration from this year on anybody.
Yep.
If you want to volunteer, go right ahead. I'm not going to volunteer.
No. I'm good. I'm not going to put myself or my family in any sort of danger over a console.
No. Yeah, no way, dude. It's bad enough I have a crazy neighbor right now, you know?
Although I will have to pay attention to my front doorstep on Friday. As there are a few packages coming on Friday.
Oh, God.
Nothing like huge, but like you just don't want packages sitting out in front of your house. You know, Christmas shopping has started, and that's the safest way to do it. So,
yeah.
Evidently, my wife is also buying spices off of the internet now. That's also showing up on Friday.
Oh, we'll I got a friend request. Aw.
Have some flavorful food. Yeah, so I hope you're not standing in line out there.
Just, God, don't stand in line.
Yeah. Be safe. Shop from home. If you can't get what you want there, like, just wait. You can be patient. I know it's hard. We know it's hard.
We get it. We are also doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It is possible, though.
Yeah.
And it's almost over. It will end in the next couple of months. It will be over.
Yeah. Yeah, and guess what? Demon Souls and Spider-Man and Bug Snacks and Astropod, they'll all still be there. It just means you'll have more games to play when you finally get the system.
And they'll be optimized better because Bug Snacks has had, what, 4 patches since I've owned, you know, downloaded it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Demon Souls is getting one pretty soon. And I believe Insomnia dropped one for Spider-Man as well because they're having issues.
I mean, really, if you're getting a console in the next couple of months and you've like let these games like breathe for a little bit, you're playing the best version of those games.
Yeah.
Like you're going to play like a way better version of, say, Assassin's Creed than I am playing currently. Like if you're playing 2 months from now.
Right. Or so I don't know if you guys saw the Dirt 5 controversy that kind of like went down this week, but Digital Foundry like ran a comparison video. And the PlayStation's version like looks significantly better than the Series X version. It's because there's bugs in the Series X version. That it's actually playing, it seems like it's playing the Xbox One version instead of the Series X version. Those bugs are going to get worked out. It's like Tony said, like you're going to be playing the best versions. They're going to be able to optimize these things, like Walt said. So take a deep breath. I know. I want to play Spider-Man 2, but they'll be there. Yeah. Don't risk your life. Don't risk your health over video games.
And please don't overpay for these things. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Right. That only encourages people to do it in the future too.
At the most, if you can get your hands on a bundle from a realtor where it throws extra controllers, et cetera, et cetera.
At least you're getting
buy that stuff anyway.
Yeah, like you're getting value for what you're paying at that point. You're not overpaying. You might not need all the shit in the bundle, but at least you're getting something for what you're paying for.
Yeah.
As opposed to just handing somebody $1,200, $1,500 for a thing that in 4 months you'll be able to buy for $500, no problem.
Yeah.
With more games at that point. So, well, we are going to go enjoy our Thanksgivings socially distanced. We hope you all had a good Thanksgiving and we'll be back next week to start our end of the year stuff. Actually I need to take a look at the calendar, see exactly how to plan that stuff out. I think we have,
I got to ask you guys something pretty important before we go.
Yeah.
Ham or turkey
if I had to choose?
For the holidays, yes, ham and turkey. What are you guys? What's your household like? You both kind of lead a household. I'm kind of new at leading a household, but ham or turkey.
My personal preference is ham, but for Thanksgiving, I feel like the turkey is traditional. You have to do
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for like Christmas and Easter, ham, definitely ham.
My saying is ham is for holidays and Thanksgiving isn't a holiday. Okay. We have a shitty bird on Thanksgiving. we don't do Thanksgiving. My mom does Thanksgiving historically. And my brother, myself, my kids, my wife, we all dislike turkey so much that she has started serving fish as well as the turkey. Because
Thanksgiving fish, cod.
So we have Thanksgiving fish, Chilean sea bass, snapper, and catfish this year. Ooh, so
not bad. Not bad.
I mean, I just take the turkey, I cover it in gravy.
Yeah, you have to. It's so,
you have to. It's so dry.
Even the moist, the nice, juiciest turkey still needs all that gravy.
You know, the problem is that turkeys are always so big. Like, yeah, you're trying to serve a turkey to like 12 people, so you're getting like this massive bird.
Yeah.
Which you have to cook for so long that parts of it are going to dry out no matter what you do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, well, like, I think the better solution, you get a smaller, like, I like to roast chickens. Chickens always seem to come out like moist and delicious. Turkeys do not, because they're just too big.
You got to cook them for roasting like 15 them. Hours or something like that.
I'll say this. If you have the space that you can do this properly, deep fry a turkey. One time in your life,
yes.
Deep fry a turkey.
That is the best.
It is how turkeys are supposed to be consumed.
If you're going to bake it, right before it ends, coat that motherfucker with some honey. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it can go in there so it doesn't become so dry.
Or don't cook the whole turkey. Cook part of it, cook the breasts, cook the legs. Don't, you're cooking the whole thing at once, which is the problem. Different parts of the turkey cook at different rates.
I can't do that really in my household because my dad needs to carve it. That's my dad's thing. The same joke every year, you know what I mean? And he carves it. If I've robbed that man of that, you know what I mean? I don't know.
But in this case, you could have like pre-carving. He could carve it while it's still raw.
No, because he's
you could have him hunt that damn turkey down in the yard, take it down with a knife. I'm taking your leg, turkey, and kill
Tony,
him.
Tony, like, I tried this in 2009 when I freshly got out of the military. He's like, I'm not carving anything here. I'm serving people food because you're just sliding one slice. It was the whole thing. That's the last time it happened. It never happened again. We tried doing the turkey and ham again. He rebelled. He's like, What is this? This isn't Thanksgiving if we have ham on the table. That's why I'm asking you.
Ham is so much better.
It is, man. A nice little, like, you guys ever had ham that has like actual honey, like the comb on top and baked with it?
Oh, yes.
And it just crusts right off and it breaks and snaps.
That sounds amazing.
It's perfection. If you guys aren't like good cooks, no worries. There's a little company called Honey Baked Ham that will do that for you. And
they will literally send you the ham. Yeah.
With that on top, all you got to do is warm it up for like an hour in your oven and you're set. And it's fantastic.
And then like if there's ham left over, it's good for so many different things. Like,
oh my God.
Breakfast specifically.
Yeah. You could chop that stuff up.
Eggs.
Omelets and eggs. Yeah. And it could become breakfast meat.
Like, I mean, sandwiches forever. Yeah. Like those nice thick hunks of ham, as opposed to like lunch meat ham, which is
very thin.
What my mom does is she makes like a turkey broth out of the turkey, because then the meat becomes super soft in there, and you just go out of town.
Make like a turkey soup or something,
or a turkey chili. She just chops it up real thin and throws it with some chili, and you're set.
I could maybe get behind a turkey chili.
Oh, it's really good, dude. But you cut it in little cubes. You cut everything in little cubes, and then you just throw it in at the very, very end when you get the chili almost ready.
So, yes, we are going to enjoy our socially distant the Thanksgivings. We hope you did too, and have a good rest of your holiday weekend. We'll be back next week with something. And hopefully Jeff. Hopefully Jeff will.
Hopefully Jeff. Yes. Yeah. Jeff will be alive and back on the podcast.
Yeah.
Walt, say goodnight.
Good night. Wear a mask, please. Please, for the love of God, wear a mask.